Like as we always make, being that we are focusing in the Chavis Alvavis in Shara Bitochin, so from time to time we also take the advantage and the opportunity maybe to mention some other pearls of wisdom from the Chavis Alvavis in other areas. And this one happens to be quite familiar one that the Chofetz Chaim brings down himself in the Sefer Shmir Saloshin, and that's from the Chavis Alvavis, which is from the Shar HaKniyah, which is the Shar that deals with humility, which deals with Anivis, and then Perek Zayin. Chofetz Chaim is from time to time, as we have mentioned throughout the various shurim, he discusses and mentions Hanhogis, practices of Chasidim, Erlich Yidin, whether in the area of Bitochin or in other areas of Avodas Hashem. So he discusses there in Shar HaKniyah, and he says that V'omar Echot Min HaChasidim. He quotes that one of the Hasidim said that Harbe bin Ayodom Yovoyu Liyoyim Achejbin. It'll come a time after 120 and an accounting will be taken, the file will be opened, and Ukishimarim Lehem Aseim. And when the file is open about a particular person, Yimsu, they'll find B'Sefer Zuchiyosom, they'll find that many mitzvahs. And you'll find that many positive acts are attributed to a person that he says, I never did these things. In other words, after 120 years, and he comes up to the Bezin Shomalo, and they open up his file to see and to evaluate the person's practices on this world, and will find out that many, many mitzvahs will be recorded, accredited to him. With the obvious question, he'll say, I never did this. Shiloi osu oison, many zochias that they never performed. The yoimron, they will say, lo yosinu oison. They'll say, we never did it. So the yoimelahem, and the answer will be that osu oison, it's true, you didn't do those mitzvahs, but other people who spoke badly about you, other people who slandered you, you basically have taken away, have received in exchange, so to speak, for the slander that they have slandered you, you have received in exchange mitzvahs that they have performed. So in other words, every time you kind, you say all these various mitzvahs, and you say to yourself, you've never done it, well, those are mitzvahs that you are enjoying and gleaning from those people who have slandered you on this world. And which means also, therefore, in reverse, that when a file is opened, and you find out that many of your so-called mitzvahs are missing, well, the answer is, you may have performed them, but you have slandered somebody, so they were taken away from you and given to the other person. So points out to the Chavis Alvavis. When you're going to find out that there are many are kishi yechoser, he'll find out that some of his maisim tovim are missing from the file, and they're not recorded. The answer will be, Ovdu mikem be'eshi dibartem b'plaini y'plaini. So Chofetz Chaim goes on to extol this idea. And he brings down from Rufal Hamburger there that when a person does shuv and so on and so forth, to be able to retrieve, and the positive way of how to go about it, to be able to retrieve all those mitzvahs that he lost during the time that he was slandering other people. So besides the actual aver of slandering other people, the aver of Lashon Hara, but the tremendous loss that went along with it, a person could be losing his mitzvahs. So, like everything else, there are ways of tshuva in order to rectify that. Based upon that, there's interesting, there's a medrash, in the, which this Chavis Alvavis is very, very interesting. There's a medrash that tells us, in Parashas Kisiso, which by the way, this Shabbos coming up is Shabbos Shkolim, Parashas Shkolim, and the medrash says that, Bishor, he says, Kisholo Moshe Rabbeinu Lemori, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, Hereyu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him, Oishroi Shel Socher, treasures of the reward. He showed them the treasures of the reward, Lo Sedlove, that people are going to get for their Maisim Toivim, for their good deeds, for the mitzvahs that they performed, acts of chesed, and so on. The Shalom Moshe Rabbeinu asked, and he says, when he saw the various different sizes of the treasure houses and the treasure storages, so he says, Halolo Lebala Mitzvizu. He says, Vahalolo Lebala Mitzvizu. Well, first of all, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you know, this treasure is for this particular person who did this many mitzvahs. The other treasure that you find is for people who have done either more mitzvahs or less mitzvahs, depending upon the size of the treasure, and so on. But then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows him Oitzer Echad Godel, because Baruch Hu shows him a tremendous Oitzer. a tremendous storage house of treasure, which was above and beyond all of the smaller ones in the different sizes. And here again, Moshe Rabbeinu asks, and he says, Lemi, who is going to be the beneficiary of this tremendous Oitzer Godel, which is greater than all the others? So Amalois HaKadosh Baruch Hu says like this, and he answers something which is very enigmatic and very ambiguous, and the Mefarshim have a lot of trouble with it, and that's what we're going to suggest, an explanation based upon the Chovas HaBavah that we're just saying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers something like this, listen. A person who has performed and done mitzvahs, he has achieved in this world, so he gets schar, he gets reward for all of the mitzvahs that he has done. Mitzvah, reward. Mitzvah, again reward. Mitzvah, again reward. What about those people who unfortunately did not lead a life and really did not perform many mitzvahs? Because Baruch Hu says, being that their mitzvahs could not create reward, then I'm giving them on my own. And when I give on my own, I give much, much more. And those are the Oitzris Godel. The Oitzris Godel are for those who don't really have earned it on their own, but they are getting it directly from me. Let's take a look at the lotion over here. Mi sheyesh loy mishaloy, ani noisen loy ma'oitzris harishayinim. Whoever has from his own, so I give him, as we pointed out, from the early treasure houses, storages. I'm giving you from this great treasure house, which is a matona, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives. Chinam, it was not earned, but this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's grace that he gives in this matona. And the obvious question is, what does it mean if a person does not deserve it, a person did not earn it? Not only doesn't appear that he should be getting anything, but now he should be even getting more. He should be getting more, that his oyster should be even greater than all the others. So there's a sefer called Arvei Nachal. Arvei Nachal is from the Mechaber of the Sefer Levush Yisrod on Shulchan Aruch. You open up the large Shulchan Aruch, you see there's a pirish, tremendous goyim, but both benigel and benister. Was also a great master in the world of Hasidus, in the world of Kabbalah, who lived in the second half of the 1700s in Poland. And he says as follows. He says that, Rai b'nei Yodam, he says, you know, that most people, even those who do mitzvahs, there's no end, of course, to perfection. Most people, their mitzvahs, we do our mitzvahs, but the mitzvahs, after all, are left wanting and lacking. We are not mekayim the mitzvahs, b'chol proteo, with all the details, b'chol dukeh, and all the fine details. We do the mitzvahs. Sometimes it's lacking kavona, sometimes even lacking in the way we do it, and so on, the excitement and the exuberance. The quality of the mitzvah certainly is not perfect, and sometimes far from perfection. So that means, of course, that the schar of that mitzvah, being that the mitzvah that you performed is not as perfect, so certainly the reward and the schar for that mitzvah will also not be as great as it could have been. Now, when someone slanders you, right? And as the Chovas HaBavah tells us, that we receive somebody else's mitzvahs. Now, somebody else's mitzvahs are also not perfect. But however, when the schar is that you receive the mitzvah of somebody else, you have not earned it, but you're receiving it because somebody else slandered you, you only get the chelik, the positive side of the mitzvah. The chesroinus of the mitzvah doesn't go to you. So those mitzvahs are perfect mitzvahs. Your own mitzvahs are the way they are. They are evaluated the way they are. You perform them the way that you perform them, for better or for worse. That's the schar that you're going to get. The mitzvah that you are getting from somebody else, because he slandered you, you don't get his chesroinus. You only get the positive chelik of that. And that positive chelik is kulay positive, the positive chelik. But that's attributed to you. The chelik of the chesroinus, the deficiency of that mitzvah, that remains by him. And that's what it means. Mishesh l'mishaloi means that the person who performed the mitzvah himself has the limited oitzris, whatever according to the value of the mitzvah. Mishesh l'mishaloi, he says. But someone does not have from himself, meaning the mitzvah that he has mitzvahs, but the mitzvah that he has is not through his own actions. The mitzvah that he has is because it was transferred, the account, somebody else's account, Kibbutz went and made a withdrawal, as it were, from somebody else's account of mitzvahs and gave it to you. He only took out the positive chelik, but not the negative chelik of that mitzvah. And therefore, it's a perfect mitzvah on your side, on your end. And therefore, the schar is very great. It's interesting anyway, but as anything, so this is it's a frightening thought that you become nechshel in an aveira, you do an aveira, in particular in the area of Lashon Hara, that it could really have an effect on your mitzvahs, and you may find yourself being stripped of those mitzvahs. So, like anything else, certainly in this case, behooves a person to do proper tshuva and to be able to have it restored. We take a look at the sheet here with a few very interesting things regarding the midah of bitochen And this is really from a sefer called Orchis Chasidecho. And I bring down the following episode from Revelville Brisker, the Brisker Rov. He said the following thing. He brings down over here that Rabbi Yitzchok Zev Soloveitchik, going out Bezen Bris Natal, that the Brisker Rov, he says, Lomad Me'obi, if you learn from his father, Ki Kol Maise, he says, Umikri Shebo, he says, every Maise, or every happening that came lefon, that comes Lofonenu, he says, Yesh Levaroi Bedarki Huamuna, he says, Vashgoche. Everything that happens to us, we have to explain it in the framework of Emunah Bashem and having divine providence, which has direct bearing on this particular episode. Whatever happens in one's life. And he goes on to explain the following. He said, Echod Ma'ashira, he said, Ezor Yored Merchosov. Turns out that one of the rich people of the area, happened to lose his fortune. Sha'alu Esagrach, they asked Reb Chaim Brisker, he says, Madua, why is it? Why is it that this particular person, why did he lose his fortune? What happened? The Hizbir B'Moshel, Habo. And Reb Chaim explained it with the following Moshel, very fascinating Moshel. He says, Av Hishel B'Noy Sakin. Can you imagine, let us assume that a father lent his son a knife. Now a knife can be used in a positive way, or it can be used in a very, very dangerous way. So let us imagine that a father lent his son Hasakin a knife. But when the father realizes Shahaben Choitechis Yodov, what happens when a father sees that the son is irresponsible and he's cutting his hands with the knife? Now obviously what's gonna happen? Lokach memenos Hasakin. So the father takes away. Father takes away the knife, takes it away from him. So Reb Chaim, this is exactly the same thing with Ashiris, with riches. But we don't know how to use it. You understand? Others, you use the Ashiris in a way that you're cutting your hands, you're cutting your neshama, you're cutting your body. It's like a knife in someone's hands. Ashiris, fortune, can be used in a very, very positive way. It can also cause a person to be led astray. So when a father gives a child a knife, if he doesn't know how to use it, he takes it away from him. Kribohu gives you Ashiris, you don't know how to use it, v'choit chimbos hayudayim, it's of course a moshel, and cuts your hand, it wounds you, damages you, nilkachas, he says, v'ashiris min odom, Kribohu takes it away. So, that was in that particular situation, that's what Reb Chaim explained, Kribohu took away the person's Ashiris. So they asked the Brisker Rav, listen, but what about, they point to a particular El Chayid, they point out to a particular Tzaddik, who you cannot say that he abused his Ashiris, his fortune, and yet he also lost his fortune. Now what would be the answer over there? Based upon the previous answer. How does it fit? How does it fit with the following episode? So I said, Bishwalus agrees. So they asked the Brisker Rav, he says, Lefi Hezbrazeh, according to the explanation of Reb Chaim, that the Ashiris was taken away from a particular person or from many people, is because they don't know how to use the knife. They cut their hands with it. They wound themselves. So, Mahi Hasibe Shal Rebarach says Ladovich. They happen to point to a particular person that Menachbode Minsk happened to be one of the most honorable people of Minsk. Umim Kirove Hagrach happened to be very close to Reb Chaim himself. Yore Vechorat, an El Chayid, a person who fears HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avhu Yorad Menachosav, he also lost his fortune. So, Heshev Hagoyin Rabbi Yitzchok Zev, so the Gris, the Brisker Rav, in the answer, he says, listen, he says, you find it when a person takes a course, he goes to university. He says, when a person finishes a particular course in a university, you know what? So now he moves on, maybe to a different university, maybe, because now he has to move on. Or takes on a different course. He moves out of this classroom, now he moves on to a different. So he moves on to a different section. So Abram, he says, he was a machlokah plenis, it was in a particular section. So Abram now the machlokah in a surface. Now, so he goes to a different class. Goes now to a different section of the university, in a different area. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu limed ubochan es reborach, he says, b'machlekes ashiris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested him. He tested him, he says, in the area of ashiris. You know what happens when you pass the test? So now, he says, he takes away the ashiris and gives him other tests. You pass this course. There's more courses in life to see how strong your Emunah Bashem is. So you go, you move on.
He gave him Ashiris, he tested him. You passed the test, we take away your Ashiris. Now you move on. Move on. Now it comes to a different course, he says to him. So he says, Machloka Ashiris, Rishisai, Mrs. Machloka Zu, Matzlocha Rabu. And he passed it, tak with flying colors. So Heviro El Machlekes Anias. Now let's see how you can deal with Anias. It's the big test how you deal with Ashiris. It's a big test how does a person deal with Anias? Chas v'shalom in poverty. Both is a test. You pass the test of Ashiris, let's see how you pass the other test. So, move on. Let's see. In each and every area. These are the different Assyrianists, he says. In order to test us, Kesed Yishtalim Shom. How am I going to be Mishtam? How are we going to fare in those areas? Are we going to be able to be Mashlam ourselves in those areas as well? So our Amunah can be tested at many levels. You pass in one area, now Kesh Baruch Hu now changes the situation. Let's see how you pass, and the course goes on in this new area. Well, we're going to move on here. Let's go to number two. There's another interesting thing you can see on your own from Bianca Naiman. But your time is short. Let's take a look. There is a sefer called Harav Meponovich. From the Meponovich Rav, of course, you know, the Meponovich Rav who built Yeshivas Meponovich at a time that many, many years ago, you know, after World War II, a number of years after that, he came to Bnei Brak, was a wasteland. It was a Midbar Shmoma. Literally, it was a desert, it was a wasteland, and he had a lot of dreams, many, many dreams, and it's Yidua that when he bought the area of where he was supposed to build, which was and turned out to be the renowned Ponovich Yeshiva, he stood there on a little hill, that's where it's supposed to be, and the Yehadir the Chazanish was there as well, Reb Chesko Avramsky was there at sort of like the groundbreaking, which is celebrating now the first step in the future building of the Ponovich Yeshiva. And in his drosha was a very renowned, he says, Baldarshan, the Ponovich Rav, in addition to everything else, is the supreme fundraiser. Now, they say that the Satmar Rebbe said on the Ponovich Rav, you know, when scientists starting, you know, to have all the different opinions, are there life on Mars? Is there no life on Mars? The Satmar Rebbe said that there's no life on Mars. If there would, the Ponovich Rav would have been there raising money already, he said. Would have been there. There's no life on Mars. Can't be. So he said, and he pointed, he said, you see that hill, he says, a few years from now, there's going to be a yeshiva over here, there's going to be 200 students, 200 bachurim are going to be learning over there. And it happened to be Rav Zsolti, who was Rav Yerushalayim, many, many years later, we happened to have the privilege many, many years ago in Arbis Medish, and he gave a drosha here, it was still in the old shul. And Rav Zsolti said to Ponovich Rav, he says, Rebbe, he says, in here, you're going to have a yeshiva with 200 students. He says, Rebbe, you're dreaming. The Ponovich Rav said, same as the words, yes, I'm dreaming, but I'm not sleeping. So that was the truth. He was always a dreamer, never stopped dreaming. And that was his koyach. So, but of course, like any person who embarks and takes under many, many serious missions, there's always a lack of funds and lack of money. But they did not decide, you know, the extent of their building is how much money they had. They went ahead to build. The money issue was secondary. And they would work on that in a separate way. So let's define that over here. He brings out here that Noeg Hoy Rabbi Yosef Shleim Kahneman, that was his name, Rav Kahneman Reish Yeshiva Sponovich, that's all. Kol Yomov, he said, L'sapi L'yididim. All his life he would speak to his friends, he said, Ketzad Govar Olov Chesed Aboyer Yisborach Shemoy. How he was working to tremendous chesed from Hashem. Ubechol Tzad Vishal, every step that he took, he was able to see clearly. Liva Oisoy Ezer Mimorim, he would see that Hashem's hand is guiding him. Bitzur Nisis Mamish, he would experience open miracles. Shloike Derech Hateva, right, which went way up and above. He says the rules of nature. Af Yoim Echo, there was not a day, a single day, Lo Yiskaimo HaYeshiva Boifin TV. The yeshiva never was able to maintain itself in a natural way. Every day the existence of the yeshiva was through Nisim, and he was able to see it. He points out that Afpam lo hoyle bosis, he says, Kiyume artsi shiyecholim lishonov. He never had a really solid foundation that you could say, oh, I'm going to rely. The yeshiva is going to be able to maintain itself based upon that. They never had that. But always, the last minute somehow he came through. You never knew ahead of time how he was going to make it. He says, Elotomin berega ho achrim. Always the last moment, the last minute, Bishah or Bishas ho ephes. Mamish was down to zero. He was down at the bottom of the rung. It says, Bo pisim shuas Hashem. All of a sudden, Yeshua HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Herif Ayin, and he said, like a blink of an eye, he says, Memoker bilti tzofui legamra. From a source that no one could ever imagine, no one could ever hope that from here the Yeshua is going to come. Elif Sipurim Siper Hoye Bepiv. He says, but thousand stories, different stories, he would always have on his mouth. Of the stories, Maishim Shoyu, things that happened, Shoychichu Ba'alil, that was able to clearly point. Ki Ponovich, the Yeshiva Ponovich, Nizaynis, he says, is Davki straight, is Yosha Miyodav Shikosh Baruch Hu, directly from the hands of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Behuloi Posak, he says, Meloshe Shevach Vaidoi, he would always, never stop thanking Hashem. Lelekim Avon, he says, Chasodov Neflois Eile. And he always had the betochen that this is going to continue. So Rabbi Yisrael, turn the page and see what happened here, the following story. Okay, we go number three, the Hemshe. Maisa, the story was, Shedochku Boy Noishim. He had his creditors that were after him, creditors that were pressuring him, Balechoivis, creditors Ubankoim, and the banks. The banks were after him because he had a lot of outstanding loans. Sheyipara b'dchifis, they were pushing him, pressuring him that he has to pay very quickly. Schum godol, a tremendous amount. Kibbul mehem b'alvur, tremendous amount that he received as a loan. The time already came, was long past, was long overdue. Ukrahigia moyet silukoi, the time already to pay the fine, the loan. Hulo yoda, he had no idea, mehechen yikach lefraya, he says, where he's been able to pay them the choif. He asked for an extension, at least a few days. Ach hanatirion, he says, the notary over there, the kitzer, the head, shetipel, the people who were involved with him and were involved in collection. There was collections after him, collection agency possibly. Nobody agreed to wait another day, he says. And it turns out that they contacted him, as he points out, by phone, and so on and so forth, and they told him clearly that there's no delay, you cannot delay, they can't wait anymore, and they told him, we see the next line, Vimeinu Mishalem Yad, if he doesn't play right away, Harei Utsofuili Stavich Is Biflilim, this could involve, he says, the courts, and possibly even jail, and so on, because it was a serious situation, if he doesn't come up with the money. But also sure, at that moment, while he was perturbed, his mind was kuloi occupied, and to try to figure out where is there some source to be able to come up with the money, at least temporarily, because the Yidu knocks on the door. He says, he's dapik, he says, Aldelis, he says, Harav, somebody knocked on the door, and this is a person that was a Yehudi Bilti Mukher, a Yid that he never knew. Never saw this Yid, never knew him. Shebo Ma'ayora Ketano, he says, Bikirvas Ponovich, who came also from a small town that was not far from Ponovich. He says he came to talk to him because he has some sort of a problem. Inyan proti. Al pimareu, looking at the person, this person, looking at him, if you had to evaluate him without knowing him, he looked like somebody who can just give you trouble. You know, some of the people just come and bother you. And Rabbanu has all the time. People knock on the door, they have to talk to you, and they can sit there, then you're not sure exactly what they want after an hour. So this person, give the ratio, he's the same kind of a person. And here is the time where the Rav did not have any time to speak to anybody because he didn't have a moment to lose that he needed to figure out ways to break, literally, to break his head, to figure out where am I going to come up somehow to be able to pay that loan. So the Bnei Bais, the family members, tried to tell this person quite seriously, Ki Haravi says, Osuk Achshav B'inyan Chiyoni. Mamish, the Rav is now very busy in something which is so vital, he says. It is so vital, doichik moit, it's so emergency. But the Yuchel Hispanic said, the Rav does not have time. If you want to come, make an appointment. You can't just barge in now. He does not have any time now. Hayehudi choza omer al kach, but the Yid did not want to take no for an answer, and he was stubborn, and he repeated his request. He has to see the Rav. He has to take him out. He had to see the Rav right away. And time, of course, was going by. The Rav was trying to find, they told him, that the situation is very, very serious. Well, first of all, he points out this was the fact, that the Rav was busy thinking of how to come up with the money, and there's no time whatsoever. Every moment, the Maisa is very, as he says later, V'chol regas yokar mipos. Nevertheless, Ponovich Rav had a heart, as they say, as big as the yeshiva was, and when he saw that there's a Yid who needs his help, in spite of the fact that he was now laden with the burden of his own problems, he said, I'm going to listen to the Yid. He says, "B'chol ze kibel es hoish beponim eirois." Of course, he says with a smiling face, with a friendly face. Kedarki, because he says, "All we do, kishikuloi oizen lishmoya machefsoi." With his ears open to listen, what he had to say. What would that he'd have to say? Let's go next paragraph. It turns out that achre shehich lefimoy mishpotim achodim, after a few sentences, it turns out, to his great simcha, his barish medubra be'echod amalochim. This seemed to be like an angel sent me to Shemaim. What was the story? One of the Malachim HaTovim HaNishlochim Elo Ben HaShemayim Be'ez Mitzukas Mamish, when he is in dear serious trouble, Berego Achro Mamish, in the last moment. You see what happened there. This Yid was really actually a poor man all his life. Yehudi Zem is Sparnes Kol Yomav Kishamish Oni Be'ez HaKnesses or Be'ez HaMedrish Be'Yerosoy. The Shamas, a poor Shamas in his town, in the shul. Turns out he lost a son in the war, and as a result he received a tremendous amount of compensation from insurance company. Ahine kibul kaspeit pitsuyim, compensation. He received money min hatzovo hamarikoi. He points out here in brackets that his son Shishora betzovo ze nofal. He says he fell, in fire, in the war, in the First World War, and this yid now he received a schum nechbot, very choshev schum, a sizable amount of money. What's the problem? So he said, and the amount happened to be the exact amount that the Rav needed now. He says, Hashovel is chum sharav zokikloi, which amounted to the amount that the Rav actually needed. Biduyek hayoim olo bedatoi, and just today, it occurred in the, Kadosh Baruch Hu planted in the minds of that Yid, Shloitoi vaburoi, Kadosh Baruch Hu planted in the mind of the Yid, listen, you're a poor Shamus. He says, it's not good that people shouldn't that you struck it rich. You may lose your job. People may become envious of you. Kadosh Baruch Hu planted in the mind, what you should do is, take the money and deposit it someplace else. Take it out and put it out of your rishus in the same place. Kadosh Baruch Hu planted punct today of all the time. Kadosh Baruch Hu planted in his mind that he should have a chesed. It's not good for him. Lahachzik, he says, bebayis sachrav kozet. Pen yivod al mispalim beis hamedrash. Made him mispalim beis hamedrash. We'll find out. The katzusum maskorto here from his big salary. They made him take deduct from that also. He says, you don't need the money anymore, and so on and so forth. Ilazoi, so therefore now he's coming to the Rav. Mevakeshu lisito, he says, Pikodin biyadai Rav. Besoid Gomer, under strict secrecy, kimuvan. The Eloishim is Nagdus, and he told the Rav, I have no opposition, no Isnagdus, if the Rav wants to use the money in the meantime. The Eloishim is Nagdus, Bintayim, Yishtamish Rav, Bekesev, Zelut Sorche, Ayeshiva, Yilvasayim. This, Rabbeisai, is a very fascinating story. This is one of the mices that the Ponovich Rav himself used to tell over, but this was not a one-time occurrence. He used to mention that the yeshiva never was able to maintain itself in a natural way, and always somehow and from somewhere, the last minute, from the furthest places that he would ever able to figure out, could never figure this out, because Baruch would send the yeshua. And this was his betochen. His betochen was, when the next time comes around, somehow, Kadosh Baruch Hu will give him that which he needs. So again, this is a tremendous chizik. We learn that bitoch is not something which is just theoretical. We find that they were choshevi people who in fact lived on it. As a matter of fact, they survived precisely only because of bitochim. So let's take a look at Rabbi Yisrael Choyves Halvovis now. You have the Choyves Halvovis, the regular Choyves Halvovis is on page Reish Lamed. It's on page Reish Lamed. Of course, we're Shari Bitochim Perik Dalid, we are. It's on page Resh Lamed. It's on 8 lines from the bottom. 8 lines from the bottom. It was Ve'im Birer Emunosoy. Ve'im Birer Emunosoy. Should be 8 lines from the bottom. Page Resh Lamed. You have it there? You have it there? Reish Lamed. Okay, give it to him. Let me see what we have. Yeah. It's just about them. I'm not sorry about Doima Lose. Will you have it? Just to keep with the union. The king should perash. Let me see where this happens out. Just a little bit further down. Okay, so what time is it? King should perash the Agdomus. Oh, we could be lower than that, okay. Then, okay, it's in this, at a different edition. So Reish Lamed Aleph, you'll see 3 lines from the top, okay? Reish Lamed Aleph. Okay, Resh Lamed Aleph, three lines from the top. Ve'im. Okay. It's a little bit further than we stopped before, but just as actually, no. It's a, but just about. Ve'im Bira Minosa. All right. Resh Lamed Aleph, three lines from the top. Okay. So now, Rav Zalov goes on to say that in addition to the fact, in other words, Ve'im Birur Emunosoi, that in addition to the fact that a person has to have emunah, you have to have emunah b'Hashem. That what? Ki inyonoi mosor al gezeres habayra yisale. That all of his inyonim, that all of his situations are given over, are in the hands of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees it. V'shebechiras habayra loy hi habechira toiva. That's all part of a person's emunah. That what HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses for him is good for him. So with all of that belief, that all of his faith is in the hands of Hashem, however, he still is required to do his own input, his own actions, his own activity is necessary. A person is mechuyev to be involved in the sources of making things happen, and to choose a profession that he in his mind believes to be good. And by the way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will guide him in his mind that he should make these decisions, and then and through your actions, what you're going to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to decree upon you, it should come to fruition. In other words, you're going to do this and this, and through your actions, what's going to happen, the end result is, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is geyser, that's going to be the outcome. And he goes on to explain. Again, on the one hand, you have to have emunah that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is geyser, that's going to happen, but the way it's going to happen is going to be through your efforts and through your hishtadlus. To give you a moshel, I'd like to give you a moshel, an example. Ki yodom, every person understands that avol pi shekitzoi umidas yomov kishurim b'gzeiris habayiris baruch. Every person understands that his lifespan, how long he's going to live, that's in the hands of Hashem. We are not in control of how long we're going to live. So everybody understands that a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides how long a person's life, kitzoi means, of course, his end, which is his fixed amount of years, whose midas yomov, the amount of his years, are kishurim gzeres habayiris baruch. Now, will a person say, listen, being that Hashem decreed that I live to be 85, maybe I don't have to eat and drink either. Hashem said I'm going to live to 85. Yeah, you can live to 85. Yeah, you know what? But eat and drink and sleep and do whatever you have to do. And then you can live to 85. Hashem said, Hashem was geyser, you can live to 85. But that does not preclude the requirement for you having to do what you have to do, and that is to do the things that's necessary to live. Yesh lo yalod, yesh alodim lizgalgil lisibis achayim, v'machal b'mishteh. In spite of the Kadosh Baruch Hu's gzeira, Kadosh Baruch Hu predetermines how long you're going to live, but still a person's incumbent upon a person still to be involved. Right, still be involved in the sources of life, which is eating and drinking, umalbish, providing clothing, ubimo'in kifitzochoi, and also bimo'in, dwelling places. A person has to do that for himself. Person can say, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will throw the food into my house. Or throw the food, better still, throw the food and the drink into my body. You have to go put it into your body yourself. You have to eat it, you have to drink it, you have to clothe yourself. Shayoyma, because he's going to say, imagine if a person, you know what happened? Okay, Rabbi, I see what happened. Alright. We can continue this, then maybe we'll come back later. Okay, I see what happened. Okay. Shayoyma, a person will say, if in fact the Kodesh Baruch Hu made a gzera from the beginning that I should live, so Yashir Nafshi, the goofy, he said, "Mimbli Moses, because Baruch will allow my nefesh and my neshama to remain in my goof without eating koy mechayer." V'loy etrach bibakoshes haterav amoloy. And the person will say, "Therefore, I will not go out to seek my livelihood." Everybody understands? You cannot say that. Of course, because Baruch decreed, yes, there is a gzera that you're going to live kach v'kach so many years, providing what you allow it to happen. But you have to do things to allow it to happen. By the same token, a person says, if there's a gzeira min hashamayim that I live to be 85, so maybe when I drive my car, I have to worry about green lights and red lights. I can pass red lights because it's b'sheret I should live. B'sheret I should have no accident. And sometimes a person's lucky, it happened. And he goes through a red light and he lives. So the person says, no, all my life, I don't have to worry about green lights and red lights. If it's a gzeira min hashamayim, if it's b'sheret I should live 85 years, I'm going to live 85 years anyway. Or how about something even more ridiculous? Person saying, I'm going to go up in the top, he says, of a high riser, right? 35 stories, I'm going to jump off the roof. If it's a Bashir, I should live, I'm going to live. After all, this exam of Shemayim, I'm supposed to live to 85. So I said, no. The Gzeirim and Hashemayim is that this should happen, providing that you do the right thing from your end. The Chein Ein Royu Le'odom, he says. It is inappropriate, he says, for a person. Lehikonais, he says, Bisakonis. It is inappropriate for a person to allow himself to enter dangerous areas. I'm a Baal B'Tochen, he's going to say. Bibitchoin, he says, Al Gzeiris Abayre. I'm relying on the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Gzeiris Kodesh Baruch Hu, after all, has decreed that I should be able to live, right? So many years. So I don't have to worry about entering or putting myself in dangerous places. And the Ishta Samamovis, or maybe I can drink poison as well. It can't hurt me. Kodesh Baruch Hu decreed that I live to 90. I live to 120. Or a person will say, I have no problem, he says, to go and wage war and to take on lions and wild animals. I don't have to worry about it. They can't do anything to me. I have a guarantee from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I live to 95. He says, whatever it is. No, whatever it is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the gzeira that he's going to live. So a person might say, well, besides it, there's no. Or he's going to say, I'm going to throw myself into the yam or into fire with the expectations, he says, that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to... In other words, the point is not what he knows. He doesn't have to know. The nekuda is, because if a person would make the false calculation that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed I should live, why shouldn't I jump into the fire? If it's decreed that I should live, I'll live anyway. I don't have to know how much. But the point is, fire can't hurt me, water can't hurt me, because it's decreed, it's in the cards that I have to live so many years. Nothing can happen to me. V'adoyim alazeh, he says, or things similar to that, mimashe ein odem betuach bem yisake nafshoy, person putting yourself in a situation that you can't be secure, and you're going to put yourself in danger. Of course, this is inappropriate. It's keneged atoyra, it's the keneged logic. The Pasuk itself already forewarns us against this type of a thought. B'mashomar, as it says, Lo'tenasos Hashem alekeichem, kashenisisem b'maso. Do not try to test Hashem as you tested Him in maso, kinenu nimlot bozeh me'echod mishnei devarim. In other words, a person who puts himself in sakon, in danger, will not be able to escape from one of the next two things, as he's going to point out. And that is, if a person outright puts himself in a matzav of danger with a bitachon that says, whatever is bashar for me to live, I'm going to live anyway, I don't have to worry. So he says, oi, either sheyomus v'yehu hamemis es atzmoi. One possibility is that in fact he's going to die because he put himself in danger. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch originally had a plan that he should live so and so many years, he said it's not going to work out. He said, "Shuyomus v'yehu amemis es atzmoi v'hu nitzba al ze kilu hemis ulosim ebnei yodam." Chavis Avovitz tells us quite clearly, a person puts himself in danger, and if he dies because of that danger, he's a murderer. Does it make a difference whether you murder somebody else or you murder yourself? As a matter of fact, he says, you'll see that there's a greater einish, even there's greater punishment for a person who commits murder, and the murderer is someone like himself or someone that's closer to him than a stranger. Murdering a relative, he points out, is more serious also than murdering someone else, a stranger. Chazal goes out to point out that afal pi shemoisoy al haderech hahu bigzeres alikim ubrishusoy. Chazal says another thing. This is a big philosophical discussion. Questions like this: if Reuven kills Shimon, Reuven is a ritzeach, and if it would be a bezin at the time, of course, when we had the batedinim, he would be chayv misa. Chavos Vov's opinion is, Reuven kills Shimon. The fact that Shimon died as a victim, it means it was destined for Shimon to die, but you're still a murderer. Because the fact that Shimon has to die, he could die many ways. But the Nekudah Chavos Vov's opinion is that Shimon had to die. There was a gzera on Shimon to die, or Shimon would not die. The only thing is, you killed him. You killed him, you're a murderer, and therefore you are held accountable with all that this act entails. Same thing, if a person put himself in danger, and as a result he died, on the one hand, says Chavos Avovis, Moisay al aderechu bigzeres elikim. But the fact that you did it to yourself is not going to, you're not going to be removed and be absolved from being held accountable. Ukvar hiziranu, we already are warned, shleilohomus shum odom bishum gilgul. We should not, through any causes, gilgul means causes, should not be even an indirect cause of murdering anyone. The Omer, as it says, loy sirtzoch. And he says, V'chola sheyiye hamumois korav el amemis, is the closer the victim is to the murderer, the closer, he says, yeho oynish yoyser royu, he says, then the oynish, the punishment, is even more, he says, appropriate. There's a posik in Omois. The posik is as follows. Al rotfoy bacherev ochiv. You are going to be indicted because with a sword you chased your brother. Chav Savovitz uses the word ochiv here to mean literal, your brother, not just someone, a friend, not just someone who's in association. Al rotfoy bacherev, he says, ochiv, because you chased your brother. Vishiches rachmov. And as a result, you have destroyed the midas rachmonis. In other words, if it's your brother, more than anything else, there would be the midah of Rachmonis that should prevail and serve as a mechitza, as a blocker. And yet, a person who is able to commit a crime, even against his own brother, where Rachmonis should have normally prevailed, so it's even worse. It takes much more of an achzorius, takes much more of a maiserishis for a person to kill his own brother, his own sister, his own mother, his own father. Even though murder is murder, no matter how you do it, but the Yoinish in Shemayim would be much more serious. Chav Savoz points out again, again the phrase above, if the mumah is the closer that the victim is to the memis, to the retzeichi, ho'inish yoyseroyu. Rabbi, if that's the case, who is closer to yourself than you yourself? If you put yourself in danger, so you have murdered the closest person that you have to yourself. That's yourself. The oinish has to be all that much greater. So therefore, a person who is memis esatzmoi, ye onshoi godol bli sofik. Mipnei, he says, nit mishimosh libozeke evit. The example I will give you is to an evit. He says, shitzivo adoinov. Imagine you have a slave, you have an evit, or you have a servant. He says, shitzivo adoinov. His master, he says, commanded him, lishmor mokoim lizman yedua. Master told him, listen, I want you to be sure, I'm giving you something for safekeeping, and I want you to guard it for a certain amount of time. But not only am I commanding you to guard it for a certain amount of time, I'm commanding you where to stay to keep it. In other words, I don't want you to move it to any other place. Here, this is an expensive item. This is a choshev item. I want you to keep it for 2 months in this place. Not over there, not over there. Here's where I want you to watch over it. The Yizira, and he warned him, shall you parid memenoi? And his master warned him to keep watch on what I'm giving you and make sure that you don't step out of this area. Until we send a messenger that's time to bring it back. The Eved was waiting and waiting a month or two or three or four, and he sees that the shliach of the master doesn't come, so he on his own. Being that he saw that the shliach is, of course, is taking time, is lingering from coming, so therefore, so he separates. The Eved moved away from the spot that he was supposed to be before the shliach comes to absolve him. The Kotzav Olam Adoinov, his master got quite angry at him. And he punished him, right, with a serious punishment. So the Chavis Avodis, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us our neshama, so we have to watch over our neshama. He says, and we have no right, he says, to do things, to remove ourselves from that watch. You moved away from the place. How did you move away from the place? Spiritual place, from serving Hashem into a place of rebellion, he says. You have moved out of the framework of where you were supposed to be, bikonsoi biskonas amovis, by putting yourself in a place of sekonas amovis. So Rabbi says, so these are some of the situations that we have here. It's true that we said maybe next week we'll go back to that. Let me just tell you a little bit about Hashgacha Protis, that fact that we are talking about. It is a known thing in the oilam of Balei Darshonim that they say that the word mazel, you say hakol tolu b'mazel, that everything is dependent on mazel, that mazel is rosh teves, mokoim, zman, and loshen, which means is to be at the right place in the right time and to say the right things, then you're mazel. The person that has all these three components, if all these three components are together, mokoim, zman, he says, and loshen, being at the right place at the right time and saying the right thing, so of course that in fact is mazel. And if a person evaluates situations of one's life and you recognize that in fact that a lot of the things of your successes were because you happened to be at the right place at the right time and they happened to have the fortitude and the satir shemai to say the right things. There was somebody, Baal Tshuva, by the name of Akiva. This particular Akiva had the good fortune to somehow to see the light, and he
He went there to Israel to study in Or Sameach, as many, many Baal Teshuva do. He studied in Or Sameach, in Yerushalayim, and he was committed to becoming a Ben Torah. And not only that, but to continue doing what they are doing, to see to make a difference also in the lives of others. In other words, he dedicated himself, eventually, when he grows enough spiritually, to be able to influence others as well, and to be a positive influence, and to be able to spread the light of Torah to others as well. This Akiva himself, prior to becoming a Baal Teshuva, he was a chess enthusiast, and did quite a bit in chess. He was not a master, but upon this, this is something that he enjoyed, he liked doing. And he was a good student, and he basically absorbed what he was taught by his rabbeim and by his chavrusas, by his study partners, and so on. And he was growing spiritually. Everything went well. It was in the summer of 1984. Summer of 1984, he traveled with a group of friends toward the north of Eretz Yisrael, so that encompasses Miron, Tzfas, and Tveria. And that was his itinerary. He's staying overnight in a youth hostel in Tzfas, so he meets somebody by the name of Bernie Yadler. This Bernie Yadler was from New York, as a matter of fact, not far from here, in Hollis Hills. That's where he was from, this Bernie Yadler. And the Sakivas began to engage talking to this Bernie. He started to talk about sort of like a religious conversation, but he realized right away, Akiva realized that the yarmulke on his head created a barrier between him and Bernie. Bernie wasn't interested in speaking to somebody who wore a yarmulke. That was right the first thing that separated the two of them. And he realized that to Bernie, Akiva was already on the other side. So this is not somebody that he'd be interested in continuing a conversation with. So in order to have some opening, to have some door, to find some way, so Akiva said he had to therefore find another or a different topic of conversation to be able to deal with him, to create sort of a friendship. Well, the topic became chess. So Akiva says to him, I like chess, how about you? So he says, chess, this one, that's my favorite, he called it a sport. In fact, he was a shtickl expert at it. So Akiva challenged him. It turned out it was a mistake because he was no match. He says before he was able even to lift his hand, he realized that he was finished. He says he lost all the, everything. However, the fact that they already had at least some sort of a chess game, they had open conversation. So Akiva asked him, he said, what made you come to Eretz Yisrael in the first place? Why did you come to Israel for? So he says, well, I wanted to feel of being Jewish, if there's any connection between myself, if I feel any connection to Eretz Yisrael by coming here. And then he said, it's a heritage thing. That's what we always say. It's a heritage thing. It's roots, nationality, ancestry. So I want to see if there's anything there, he says, in relation to my own personal life. I want to find out. So he says to him, well, if you really want to find out if there's anything here in relation to your life, so maybe the best place to go is go into a yeshiva for a while. Not forever. A week, two, three, four. Go into a yeshiva. He wasn't interested at all to go into a yeshiva, but he did mention him. He said there's a yeshiva called Or Sameach and so on and so forth. And if you want to find out if Eretz Yisrael has anything to offer to you, he says, try at least in an intelligent way. Go to a yeshiva, at least to find out what there is to know and what there is to reject. Otherwise, you don't even know what you're rejecting. So they parted company. And when the next season or the new Zaman began, or as you'd say, the new semester in Or Sameach, Akiva decides he's going to switch from Yerushalayim. There's a branch of Or Sameach in Zichron Yaakov. Zichron Yaakov, which is about 15 miles south of Haifa, you pass it. If you go on the normal highway, you go to Haifa. Before Haifa, you pass Zichron Yaakov, famous place, well-known place. And he had in mind, because that's supposed to be the next level from the Or Sameach Yerushalayim, there's sort of like a next level in the Or Sameach branch, which is in Zichron Yaakov. So he decides before he goes, he's going to say goodbye to all his friends that he had met in the few years that he learned in Or Sameach Yerushalayim. And he goes and his goodbyes, this friend, that friend, and in the hallway he sees new faces, because there's always new faces, that are coming in. And he meets these new faces. And sure enough, he sees there's a new face, and he says, Bernie. He says, Bernie. So Bernie says, you remember me? Bernie says to him, says, yeah, sure, I remember you. He says, so what are you doing here? He says, well, heritage, roots, nationality, the same thing, he says. So he decided here to find out, to see what's happening. And he says, do you think that we could study together? Because Bernie asks Akiva. And Akiva, somehow, he didn't feel that he was really ready to do it at the time. And he told him, which really was the truth of his plans, that he said, I already had made plans and I registered, he says, in the next branch.
He says, and he felt that even the excuse is sort of feeble. It didn't even come out good with his mouth. Sometimes you're giving an excuse, but it just doesn't come out the right way. But nevertheless, he couldn't bring himself really to stay. But he says, don't worry, I'm going to introduce you, he says, to all the rabbeim here, and says, and to everybody else. So you'll be in good hands with me or without me. He says, don't bother, not interested, don't introduce me. He was quite upset. And that was the end of it. Akiva goes to Zichron Yaakov. He tells Zichron Yaakov, and of course he had this guilt feeling all along that maybe he should have stayed for the sake of this Bernie. After all, he was the one who introduced him, Bechlal Tor Sameach, maybe he should have stayed with him. And this was something that he always would think about, but at the same time he said, I couldn't find it within myself maybe to impede, he says, my own personal progress. I have the opportunity to grow more, he says, in the next branch of Rosh Hashanah. He stays there for 2 years in Zichron Yaakov, and decides it's time to look for a shidduch. And he had a great reputation. He's looking for a shidduch. So after a while, he meets this girl. The girl's name was Leah. And quite similar background that he had, and they become engaged. And after they began to talk, he asked her, how did you become religious? So she says, there was a Shabbaton in Boston, he says, where I heard a speaker, people may have heard of him. He spoke at quite a number of good conventions, Rabbi David Gottlieb. Himself, by the way, is a Boston Chosid himself, which Boston Rebbe had many people from different backgrounds who became Baal Teshuva as well. His strength is philosophy, by the way, Rabbi David Gottlieb. That was his early life, his previous life, was a professor of philosophy. He became a full Baal Teshuva. I believe he was a Shtramel Abekicher, if I remember correctly, at one of the good conventions, maybe 15 years ago. And so in Boston, he said, it was at a Shabbaton. He says, I heard it, and he tremendously inspired me. So Akiva asked, sir, but why would you even want to go to a Shabbaton for? People reject that. People are not religious. He says, well, this guy Bernie that I met, he asked me, why don't you try to find a little bit about your heritage, about your nationality, about your roots? And introducing him to this Shabbaton, could not believe his ears. Said, this Bernie, who he introduced as a Sameach, who he almost lost him because he rejected him. Turns out that this Bernie, in fact, became a tremendous force. He used his creative talents that he had in chess to apply it to his own growth and to use it. In fact, a very successful person in the world of Kirith to be able to inspire others. Well, Akiva and this Leah get married, and Bernie comes for Shabbos from time to time. Bernie comes for Shabbos. And of course, as a steady Shabbos guest, Leah suggests that Bernie meets a friend of hers, and they become engaged. You know why? Because Bernie checked out this shidduch, checked out, and a mate happened. Checkmate, let me say. Chess. So this is what happened. So Akiva influences Bernie. Bernie influences Leah, and Leah makes the shidduch tabayas. This is Hashgacha Pradesh, Rabbi Yisrael. Ma'aseh Shohei.